You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to make real sure that you have everything that you need to take notes with. For I'm going to be giving you some information, and then later, if we have time, we may take some calls, but don't count on it. We might take calls, but again, don't count on it, folks. And don't go away.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and the pledge to the ideals of our forefathers. The men who fought and died in the building of this great nation. It's a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the four great freedoms cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
To impart to you now, ladies and gentlemen, has no basis in known fact, but has come to us from so many different sources that I would feel bereft in my obligations if I did not convey this warning to you. Many sources, both inside and outside the government, have been furnishing us with information concerning a supposed, and I say supposed because there is no proof, no documentation whatsoever, concerning an operation called Operation Agile 94, AG 94. It is supposed to be a multi-jurisdictional task force operation, which is currently busting gun groups without regard to the Constitution or access to the press. Supposedly, this began in New Orleans on April the 20th, moving eastward and then up the coast, commencing on June 6th, 1994, concurrent with AG 94, and one day after the crime bill will pass. The Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, United Nations, and UN forces operating clandestinely over the past 2 years from black helicopters, from local and military airfields, will begin descending on marked Patriot targets who have been spied on, practiced on for months. Targets are armed patriots, vocal Christians, constitutionalists, conservative spokesmen, right-wing troublemakers, and of course, yours truly, radio personalities who impart the truth to America. These are people who are expected to never cooperate with or bow to the New World Order. Again, I do not know if this is true, ladies and gentlemen, but I would, based upon increased reports of black helicopter movement in the state of Arizona, and the fact that right now in Sholo there are two large twin rotor Hueys sitting on the tarmac in Sholo, and armed black helicopters with guns in the mount position with belts fed through the weapons have overflown several local patriots' homes today. I would caution you to be careful. Again, this is not based upon any documentation whatsoever. It is not meant to scare you. I'm just giving you this in case it turns out to be true. We have tried our very best to document it. We have not been able to do so. I was fighting with my own conscience right up until airtime as to whether or not I would air this. And my conscience said, I must, because I cannot honestly say that it's not true. So, all of you know that it means that you must take the proper precautions.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door.
Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Pull out your arms. Let me stand by passively. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to pass. If you've got a complaint, say it as a fact.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. The federal money if you want it to hold. That's the best that I can do when you're told.
The deciding factor to air that story, ladies and gentlemen, was based upon the fact that the president, most of the cabinet, most of the Senate, and the House of Representatives are not even in the United States of America as we speak. They're all in Europe celebrating D-Day. For those of you who don't think that any of this could be happening, if you've been listening to this broadcast for a long time, you've done your research, you know that it is true. For we have challenged you to prove us wrong, and no one has stepped forth with anything near the capability of proving us wrong. On the contrary, we have all the documentation. Nothing is hidden. We have proven it in official United States government documents, military documents, State Department documents, the Federal Register, the Congressional Record, the Library of Congress, the Senate Library, executive orders issued by the President of the United States of America. There's no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, that we are part of the New World Order. We are now under international world government rule. How long they will let us pretend that the Constitution is still in effect is anybody's guess. But I'm going to impart to you tonight more proof on where it comes from. We sent away to join the ancient order of the Rose and Cross, the Fraternitas Rosae Crucis, and this is a letter which they returned to us. The Fraternitas Rosae Crucis, this is the original name of the fraternity of the Rosicrucians, our Rosicrucian fraternity, first instituted in 1614, bringing together into one organization the various associations of men previously known as the Gnostics, Paracelsians, Pythagoreans, Platonists, Hermetists, Alchemists, Magi, and many others. Rosicrucian individual, one who, because of physical, mental, and spiritual attainment, has qualified as a member of the esoteric Rosicrucian fraternity or brotherhood. The true neophyte in the fraternity is first of all a seeker after wisdom and an aspirant after the deepest truths knowable by mankind. This wisdom is not sought for selfish purpose, but to enable the individual to better help his fellow mortals, to better qualify the neophyte to serve God and humanity, and thus be better able to aid his fellow humans in their struggle upward toward the higher planes of consciousness. Rosicrucian Collective. The fraternity, as a council possessing full executive power, existed in America prior to the Revolution. And the rest of this is going to shock those of you who have not believed what I've been telling you about our forefathers. I quote, in 1774, the Great Council of Three was composed of Benjamin Franklin, George Clymer, and Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine was later succeeded by Lafayette, who, like Benjamin Franklin, was a member of the Paris, France, Rosicrucian Lodge, Humanidad. In 1842, the Great Council of Three was revitalized by the novelist and founder of the Brotherhood of America, George Lippard, who rewrote the Exoteric Ritual. Now remember, that's the Exoteric Ritual, giving it a patriotic Christian basis. Do you understand what I'm telling you, folks? This ritual has been exemplified yearly from 1842 to the present day. During the Civil War, this great council was composed of Paschal Beverly Randolph, General Ethan Allen Hitchcock, a relative of Alfred A. Hitchcock, and the then President Abraham Lincoln. President Abraham Lincoln. The Rose Cross, more correctly, the Rosy Cross, emblem of the Rosicrucians, symbolical of the work of the Rosicrucian aspirant, in effect, the transmutation upon the cross of the carnal passions which hold mankind in bondage into the rosy aura of the soul, the process of the spiritualization of man. Council and Grand Body. From its very beginning in America until 1858, the Rosicrucians were presided over and governed by the Great Council of Three, a council still continued as the esoteric body. In 1856, Paschal Beverly Randolph received authority from the Grand Dome of France to establish a Grand Lodge. This was brought about through the intercession of General Ethan Allen Hitchcock, a member of the Grand Lodge of France. In 1874, Freeman B. Dowd became the Supreme Grand Master of the Supreme Grand Lodge of the Rosicrucians in America. In 1905, R. Swinburne Clymer became the Supreme Grand Master of the Supreme Grand Lodge, while in 1908, Edward H. Brown succeeded Freeman B. Dowd as Hierarch of EULIS, the then highest office. On the death of Dr. Edward H. Brown, R. Swinburne Clymer succeeded him as Hierarch of EULIS. The fraternity has continued in America without interruption since prior to 1773. All of these people, ladies and gentlemen, who make up this lodge in Beverly Hall, near Quakertown, Pennsylvania, are doctors, and that might explain some of the problems that we've had with the medical community. Neither the abolition nor the order as such originated in Egypt. The name was wholly unknown prior to 1614. Its connection with Egypt came about through the acceptance of some of the fundamental teachings of the Gnostics and Pythagoreans. In the same manner, the present fraternity is connected with all the early civilized countries and races, having accepted some of the more important teachings of the Gnostics, the Nazarene, the Platonists, of whom Alexander A. Wilder, M.D., a member of the Supreme Council, was one of the greatest, the Alchemists, the early Magi, the Hermetics, and the Paracelsians. The fraternity as a brotherhood, the Rosicrucian Order, is a strictly secret spiritual school devoted to the teaching of religious, philosophical, and scientific truths. Its great work is the spiritualization or immortalization of the soul, bringing into individual consciousness the real man, and the ultimate establishment of the brotherhood of man. The order is free from dogma. Members of all religions may become and are acolytes in its school. It is non-political, though it is a passionate adherent to the concept that men should be loyal subjects of the country of which they are citizens. It is non-sectarian and upholds the right of every man to belong to the church of his choice, or be permitted to adhere to a philosophy purely his own. It is fundamentally religious because it teaches the immortality of the soul and the fatherhood of God. It is scientific in that it teaches the laws, making for a healthy body and a strong mind, and labors constantly for the welfare of all men. The Rosicrucian fraternity does not claim either the divine or other supernatural powers for its neophytes. It stoutly maintains that for centuries, its inner members have been familiar and conversant with psychic forces and the occult laws of nature. That members of the fraternity discovered in nature certain forces, more subtle than electricity, which under certain conditions can be controlled and directed by a properly trained mind. Will and imagination thereby become capable of accomplishing much that is exalted and of benefit to mankind, while also achieving a soul power far beyond the comprehension of the carnal-minded. The fraternity, temple, and order of the Rosicrucians does not now and never did teach new thought. Mental science, astrology, numerology, hypnotism, spiritualism, or the transmutation of base metals into gold, and I've been trying to tell you that for a long time. It is fundamentally engaged in teaching a form of higher ethics and the transmutation of the base metals, which are the passions of mind and body, into pure gold, spiritual enlightenment. A Rosicrucian philosopher is a lover of wisdom, one who seeks the truth and is willing to suffer and sacrifice in his endeavors to make his search successful. The study leading to wisdom and ultimate freedom from every form of personal or foreign bondage and weakness is called philosophy. The aim of philosophy is to free the mind from the many false and illusionary conceptions that hinder the progress of the individual, and to raise the thoughts, desires, and ideals to an appreciation of the divine or governing law. This being possible only by gradual early stages, lest the revelation be too strong for the weak mortal mind to conceive, and the spiritual light too strong to bear. The Rosicrucians in Egypt. Pythagoras was an initiate of the mysteries of Phoenicia, the mysteries of Egypt, as taught by the College of Priests at Samos, and later the Eleusinian mysteries of Greece. Being dissatisfied with them all, he selected and combined the best of them into an harmonious whole. This became known as the Pythagorean philosophy, and in 1614 the followers of this school merged with the Fraternitas Rosicrucis. The nature of the school. It was both a philosophical school and a religious brotherhood. Its purpose was to promote wisdom and virtue by enlightening the minds and purifying the hearts of those who followed the teachings. These, in turn, spread the truth, wisdom, and virtue in order to bring about an aristocracy of intellect and a democracy based on brotherly love. Now, remember what I told you about the word democracy. And listen very, very carefully to this. The double doctrine. Like the Nazarene, Pythagoras taught a double doctrine. The exoteric or public teachings consisted of discourses on virtue, morality, man's responsibility to himself, to his fellow man, and to God or the divine law. To the select and tested few, he taught a complete esoteric doctrine dealing with man's innate possibilities and capabilities, his ability to rise far above the masses and become akin to the gods, free from the shackles of slavery, whether to the self or others, as also the manner for attaining eternalness of the soul while still in a human body. And that's a very simple explanation. And remember, this letter is to the profane, asking to join. So this is not the truth. It just hints, barely hints, at the truth. Remember, it's telling you here, in the letter, so that there's no misunderstanding, that there is a double doctrine. What you will learn as a neophyte will not be what is taught to the select few. Vibration. Pythagoras conceived that the celestial spheres in which the planets move, striking upon the ether through which they pass, must produce sound, and that the sound must vary according to the magnitude, velocity, and distance of the planets. He conceived further that this would necessarily produce the most perfect harmony, a music of the spheres. Further than this, if man is truly the microcosm and prototypic of the earth, which is the macrocosm, then it logically follows that man, by his thoughts and acts, which are really his inner planets in action, must likewise create a vibration, and that this vibration, being according to his thoughts, passion, and acts, will either be harmonious and constructive or inharmonious and destructive. The philosophy of soul awakening, soul building, and soul consciousness is based on how to raise and elevate these vibrations so as to harmonize them with the divine harmony or music of the heavenly sphere. The spiritual political philosophy. The state and the individual should both reflect the order of harmony which regulates and sustains the universe. The individual created the state, the individual existing prior to the state, and therefore the combined power of the many individuals composing the state is superior to the state. The state existing for the benefit of all individuals forming the state and not for the benefit of the favored few. If, as a result of the advancement of the mass, the state is then existing, no longer works for the benefit and advancement of its citizens, it must be renovated by orderly process for the betterment of all. The soul. Remember the folks, the people who wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights belonged to these secret orders. The soul, the doctrine of eternal life, is also the teaching of the immortality of the soul. We are souls, the immortal soul being our very self. We, for a brief period of time, inhabit a body for convenience in gaining experience and wisdom. This body of ours is not really the man or woman, but merely a temporary abode which, after fulfilling its purpose, is set aside. Rose Cross, ancient and symbolical. The Fraternitas Rosae Crucis is symbolized by the rose upon the cross. The cross symbolizes the trials and tribulations which the cross, purification and elevation, demands of those seeking wisdom and spirituality, so that the rose may be of the rosy hue of dawn, the rebirth of the soul. Remember what I taught you about the sun. Authority and legitimacy. It is required that the neophyte be regularly enrolled in an organization having received its authority from a source which is a direct continuation of the original exoteric body, and to therein have become duly and truly prepared in all the physical and mental essentials for the inception of spiritual advancement. After such preparation in the exoteric part of the great work, the acolyte enters the study and practice of the spiritual arcanum and continues therein until such time as he has attained to the first degree, after which he is directed along more purely occult avenues. All authority is vested in the Supreme Grand Master and his Council of Three, and but one such council can legitimately exist in a country. Such are the ancient landmarks of the fraternity. The order retains its original name, the Fraternitas Rosae Crucis, our Brotherhood of the Rosy Cross, the Brotherhood, Order, Temple, and Fraternity of Rosicrucians. Now, I know that some of you are still lost because you have no background upon which to build. You haven't listened to the many hours that we have broadcast revealing these things to you. So I'm going to read from Volume 4 of The Great Work, entitled It's Neophytes, written by Dr. R. Swinburne Clymer, M.D. And I will begin on page 193. Entitled Lucifer, Satan, and the Devil. The devil, the inciter to evil, forcing man to gain experience, which contrary to the devil's intent or mission, will ultimately be his spiritual attainment. It is doubtful if there are any other three words in all sacred, arcane, esoteric, or even profane literature as confusing as are the words Lucifer, Satan, and devil. The utter confusion relative to Lucifer, Satan, and the devil is clearly indicated in the questions all more or less alike often asked in seminars. Quote, if we would look upon evil and Satan as one and the same, it would appear that Satan, his mission being a holy one, would suggest to us that the inherently perfect soul must go to the devil, in common parlance, and overcome the evils that beset it. What then is the difference between Lucifer, Satan, and the devil? Unquote. This statement is basically an error. If the term being had been used, the concept would be correct. These beings in the heavenly sphere were perfect in the sense that they knew no evil, that there was no evil in them, but they were not souls in the sense we understand. And as God in his statements concerning the sons of men indicates, because they had no experience, they possessed no consciousness as we understand it. They had not passed through the experiences of pleasure and satiation, sorrow and suffering. They had not passed through the cauldron of fire. Remember, these are the philosophers of fire, the cauldron of fire, the hell of the earth, life, in effect, gone to the devil. So as to know good from evil, and by having overcome evil with good, become gods. You see the difference when you get into the great work between what they tell the neophyte and what the truth really becomes. So as to know good from evil, and by having overcome evil with good, become gods. Lucifer, being second only to God in his power, like many of the angels, became dissatisfied with his state of being. He was dissatisfied insofar as he himself was concerned in being an inactive part in a perfect state of being. He wanted to know. He wanted to experience this dissatisfaction. Could not exist in an otherwise perfect state. Hence, in biblical language, God cast him out. That is, Lucifer fell or came down with a purpose, not only insofar as he himself was concerned, but concerning all others in the Elysian sphere, and all those, the angels who were of like desire, fell or came down with him. Being next to God, he had no desire to supersede God. Nevertheless, his desire was to become knowing, to lead others into the light of self-knowledge. And in descending, he became Lucifer, the light bearer, the bearer of the torch, the same torch at the apex of the obelisk in Dealey Square, the same torch that burns on the grave of President John F. Kennedy, the same torch lifted aloft by the Statue of Liberty, the same torch worn upon the breast insignia of the graduating class of St. John's High School, 1994, the same torch, the spirit of incentive in man to seek the light and become not God, but gods. And this is a direct quote from this book, The Great Work, by R. Swinburne Clymer, Volume 4. Quote, this idea God himself endorsed, unquote. These beings who descended from heaven beginning with the time that man became a conscience-thinking creature were and are the divine spark incarnate. Quote, and man breathed in the breath of life and became a living soul, unquote. So Lucifer and the fallen angels in man, according to the great work, are the same entity. I continue. They pass through the experiences of good and evil, converting the evil into good, becoming as the gods, and returning at least for a time to that sphere they gave up when their desire caused them to fall or descend or come to earth. Lucifer symbolizes the desire which was born in or became aroused in those beings which the Bible designates as angels. They became dissatisfied or were made dissatisfied by Lucifer with their inactive state because of a lack of knowledge, not of evil. Because they had no concept of it, of the divine passions of men know, such as love, affection, kindness, and generosity. Their desire and dissatisfaction caused the divinity to cast them out. That is, give them the freedom to come to earth, incarnate in human, though as yet soulless beings, and gain experience. Perhaps, we cannot know, they did not realize the great evils into which the carnal nature of the flesh would lead them. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Land where my father died, land of
Listen to this broadcast tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that what you are hearing is not what I believe, but what the mysteries teach, what they believe. They are in control, and they are bringing about a new world order. They are creating a breakdown in society, leading to total and utter chaos, after which they will step up and take back everything. I continue with Volume 4 of the great work written by Dr. R. Swinburne Clymer. Were it not for this inborn desire in the beginnings, or in the beings, were it not for this inborn desire in the beings which caused them to fall, and the Luciferian incentive, Adam's willingness to accept the apple and partake of it, men would have remained animals in human forms, instead of becoming masters of their souls and mighty in their achievements. Regrettably, however, some became fiends in human form, stalking the earth. In a sense, men, not souls, do go to the devil, gaining knowledge only by evil experience. Because of their carnal selfishness, they generally choose the evil because it offers more immediate pleasure or profit. It is these evils desired, thought of, and committed, which place the shroud of the devil, in effect, evil, upon the soul. That man may become free from the tentacles that hold him in bondage, the divine spark, or Christos, must be awakened, usually by means of suffering in one form or another. As a result of awakening, it must influence the gross self to a course of action which will gradually free it from the self-imposed evils. It is not the soul that goes to the devil, but the carnal self, the personality which takes the soul with it, at least temporarily. This was the penalty imposed upon the angel when it desired to know good and evil, induced to leave its heavenly sphere for the unknown, having assumed the obligation. There is no means and no law which will free it from divine law. It must submit to the law and fulfill its obligation, even though this may take eons of time. But those who have learned their lesson well may, by desire and effort, free themselves within a single incarnation. So you see, they believe in reincarnation. Lucifer symbolizes dissatisfaction in the spiritual self when there is a possibility and opportunity to find the cause and solution for this dissatisfaction. Lucifer symbolizes the spiritual desire to know, to experience, and to attain, to become godlike, or one of the gods, and finally a son of God. The spirit of Lucifer in the soul of man is an urge, an incentive toward attainment in all spheres of activity, to find the light that is God, to the end of final accomplishment, never in any sense to do any of the things we know as evil or sin. In the arcane interpretation, Lucifer symbolizes desire to know, dissatisfaction awakened in the angels, our being in the Empyrean sphere who had never been incarnated. This, in turn, gave birth to a desire to leave that sphere for the earth life, irrespective of what the penalty might be. Satan, not the devil, misleader, or betrayer, is the rebirth or transformation of Lucifer on the earth. It is the desire, the incentive to try, whatever the price, visioning the achievement of the ultimate. Satan is the inciter. He was and is in spirit behind everyone who ever achieved in any field. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, there is the admission that they are Luciferian in their philosophy and that they are Satanist in their religion. This desire, experience, accomplishment naturally gave rise to pride and achievement and has been retained in all souls who left the Elysian sphere and overcame, not Lucifer or Satan, who are the incentive or inciters to achievement, but the devil, in effect, the betrayer. In the greater part of the literature, other than the esoteric and arcane, are numerous references to pride, envy, malice, sin, and other evils, all based in the personality. Writers on the subject generally confuse Lucifer, the dissatisfier, and Satan, the inciter, with the devil, who is the seducer and betrayer. They vilify God dogmatically, stating that he permits Satan to exercise a sort of government in the world over his subordinates, over apostate angels, that God makes use of him to prove good men and chastise evildoers, that he is a lying spirit in the thought of false prophets, that he is the enemy of God and men, and uses all his powers to rob God of his glory and men of their souls. Disobedience to the divine law is in truth and fact listening to the temptations held out to men by their own immature natures. Yet they accuse Satan because they are not honorable enough nor manly enough to assume their responsibility. This dishonesty will, if continued, destroy them in body and deprive them of the soul, such is the law which no man can successfully evade. The biblical statement that when the Nazarene was tempted, he commanded Satan to get behind him is a gross mistranslation. Listen to what they say. Perhaps intentionally so. To have several said, "Devil, get behind me," would not sound as euphonious as "Satan, get behind me." Though the meaning is totally different, it is the old devil that is the tempter. Lucifer is the light bearer, Satan the inciter to action, the devil, in effect, the betrayer, was never in the Empyrean sphere. Well, then where did he come from if everything else came from this Empyrean sphere? Perhaps if we heard aright, when tempted to evil, the spiritual self would whisper, "Thou spirit of evil within me, get thee behind me," the devil being that spirit. Remember, folks, nothing is hidden, all is there for those who would learn. This is a volume also written by Dr. Swinburne Clymer, M.D. The title is The Philosophy of Fire, The Spiritual Light. And I'm going to first give you some of his titles. On the title page, The Philosophy of Fire, Arcanum of the Spiritual Light, or the Luciferian Philosophy. The Philosophy of Fire, the Light, is the foundation of the secret doctrine and ancient mysteries. Upon it has been built, or it is the basis of all living religions, all legitimate occult and arcane fraternities. The fire warmth is the life of man. The soul could not exist without the light. He who succeeds in finding the light within himself will have found God and assured his own immortality. By Reverend R. Swinburne Clymer, M.D., Director General of the Confederation of Initiates, Princes and Princesses of the Royal House of Melchizedek, the Church of Illumination, Supreme Grand Master of the Eighth Priesthood, and the Fraternitas Rosicrucis, and the Americani Illuminati, which is the collective body of all the secret organizations of those who consider themselves to be illumined of the light, the followers of the Luciferic philosophy, of their Lord and God, Satan. Hymn to the Son, the Light. Lord of all being, throned afar, thy glory flames from sun and star. Center and soul of every sphere, yet to each loving heart, how near. Sun of our life, thy quickening ray sheds on our path the glow of day. Star of our hope, thy softened light cheers the long watches of the night. Our midnight is thy smile withdrawn. Our noontide is the gracious dawn. Our rainbow arc, thy mercy sign. All save the clouds of sin are thine. Lord of all life, below, above, whose light is truth, whose warmth is love, before thy ever-blazing throne we ask no luster of our own. Grant us thy truth to make us free, and kindling hearts that burn for thee, till all thy living altars claim one holy light, one heavenly flame. That was written by Oliver Wendell Holmes. Some of the greatest minds who have ever lived belonged to the Order of the Illuminati, the Brotherhood of Man. Wings around the world. Draw up the blind, see the cross aflaming. See, Robert, lo, the temple yonder, see how bright the radiance from the cupola. I come. Yours? Yours what? I'm reading directly from the text. Yours what? What can you call your own? Every talent you have, every breath you draw, every drop of blood flowing in your veins is lent to you. You must pay it all back. Where have you heard that before? Perhaps from the EIB network. Talent on loan from God. Once you know the symbology, you know the members. And as far as the arts go, it is a bad sign of poet, painter, or musician who is arrogant enough to call his work his own. It never was his and never will be. It is planned by a higher intelligence than his. Only he happens to be the hired laborer chosen to carry out the conception, a sort of mechanic, in whom boastfulness looks absurd as if one of the stonemasons working at the cornice of a cathedral were to vaunt himself as the designer of the whole edifice. And when any work is completed, it passes out of the laborer's hands. It belongs to the age and the people for whom it was accomplished, and if deserving, goes on belonging to the future ages and future peoples. Thus, with the present work, we desire the reader to be conscious of the fact that it is neither new nor does it belong to us. We analyze the works of many who labored in this special field before us. We have endeavored to select therefrom such material as deals with the special subject and arranged it to form an harmonious philosophical treatise on the arcanum of light, the sacred flame. Moreover, the material quoted was seldom wholly original with the authors. As an instance, the secret doctrine has come down the ages to us, but no one has ever been able to give even the remotest idea regarding the time when its philosophical inculcations were first unveiled to those in search of the light that is neither on land nor sea. These mysteries were handed down in one form or another from initiate to initiate. Sometimes they were taught in the secret schools established for that purpose, and more often taught privately and secretly in places little suspected as being seats of learning or caves of initiation, maintained by the far-flung brotherhood of the August Fraternity. Why the August Fraternity? Have you ever heard a senator stand up and cite this August body? Why August? Because, ladies and gentlemen, in the ancient mysteries, remember? Osiris was born in July. Typhon, his brother, was born in August. Typhon, the great destroyer, slew Osiris, chopped him into 14 pieces, scattered him over the land. And atop the 14 pieces of the obelisk in Dealey Plaza, you will see the flame of the philosophers of fire of the Brotherhood of the August Fraternity. Sitting atop the one piece that Isis, his sister and wife, could not find, his phallus. The question may logically be asked, why is it necessary to repeat that which already is in print, in book, or manuscript form? This is a reasonable question and should receive an equally frank answer. It is because many writers who studied these doctrines and quoted from them were not initiates, and therefore their interpretations were negative. It is our purpose to present a positive interpretation and an active application to the secret doctrines, dealing only with facts as we know them, truths that may be verified by him who truly seeks to understand. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, you can seek to prove or disprove all of this information all you want to. Until you die, no one will ever know. They don't know either, but they sure use it to fool a lot of slathering idiots who want to thirst after these secrets that cannot either be proven nor disproven, nor even be said to be secrets or to even exist. And I continue. In all too many instances, the authors quoted stated as facts that which they themselves had read or become conversant with by hearsay, not having studied with one of the arcane fraternities or secret schools in which the doctrines or philosophies have been and are still taught. And not having had access to the private records, they were unable to vouch for their truth or to give the correct interpretation. Being fully aware of the countless numbers of men and women in all walks of life now indicating a keen interest in the secret science and the arcane, as well as in spiritual development known as initiation, our soul consciousness, and having records at our command, constitutes a legitimate reason for the compilation of the present volume. Now listen carefully, because in the next two paragraphs, I'm going to reveal to you what these people are really about and what they are doing. From their own words, remember, our forefathers established this nation as a grand or great experiment with two goals. One was to topple the kings and queens from their thrones, and that worked. The second was to prove or disprove the assertion that mankind could rule himself in a republic, given all the tools to establish and protect liberty, and all the tools with which he himself could destroy his own liberty and enslave himself. With that in mind, I continue. We do not wish to be accused of plagiarism, therefore the following statement. We do not claim the original thought of a single line in the present work, but for the interpretations we assume full responsibility. If the reader does not find herein anything original, the blame is ours. If that which is written proves enlightening and urges the seeker or reader to press forward and onward in the search for truth, let him give credit and honor to those who received us into their association. We make this one claim. Whatever is herein written is true, and if the seeker be willing to so change his life as to become worthy, if he will seek those who are ready and able to guide him along the path leading to inner spiritual illumination, the finding of the soul, the Christos within, then he too will learn to know and understand. Now that is different, folks, from our path to individuality and freedom. I continue. History informs us that when mankind recognized the relation existing between him itself and a creator, our first cause, and acknowledged moral responsibility for its acts to a supreme being or a moral government, then religion became a pertinent fact. This religion was the law governing the responsibility of the behavior of men, first to themselves, then to one another. Various religious practices were formulated and introduced by the most advanced of mankind, and obedience to religious law could outwardly be made manifest. The law is that, quote, if man will not or cannot govern himself, he must be governed and kept under control until he learns and acknowledges this as an active operating fact, unquote. Now you know what is happening. You failed the experiment, and I've been warning you all along that that's what it was. And if you didn't get your act together, they would put the chains around your ankles once again. And that is exactly what is happening. Thomas Paine, who performed a Herculean task in helping America gain her freedom, greatly maligned by many sources, frequently even called an atheist, was fully aware of this law when he wrote, quote, "Free society is the fruit of our virtues. Government is the produce of our wickedness," unquote. I wonder how many people out there have understood this broadcast. I wonder how many people out there are incapable of understanding it. I wonder how many people out there will understand it and deny it. Now, much of the ritual of the Mormon Church is born from the mysteries, from the lodges of Freemasonry, from the ancient Order of the Rose and Cross, and many others. All of the original priesthood of the Mormon Church, when they were in the state of Missouri, belonged to the mysteries. It is on record. Recently, the 86-year-old head president of the Mormon Church, Ezra Taft Benson, who claimed to be one of the greatest patriots ever raised in this country and wrote many patriotic tomes. And he and others in the Mormon Church claim that at some future date, when the Constitution will be hanging by a thread, it will be the Mormon Church that will save the Constitution and the nation. And I issue this challenge and admonition to the Mormon Church and all Mormons now at this time, and if you don't like it, you can shove it. I'm sick of hearing your rhetoric. The Constitution is no longer hanging by a thread. It is gone. According to treaties, it no longer exists. We are under the rule of the United Nations. You all know it. So when are you going to get off your butts and save the Constitution? And until you tell me when and how, and until I see some action out of you, shut your mouths. Just shut your mouths. I'm sick to death of all the phony patriots in this country and phony patriotic organizations and churches who claim to be American who are propelling us into the New World Order. Put up or shut up. It's as simple as that. And no, I'm not attacking Mormons. I'm taking you to your word. To your word. And I expect you to live up to your word or shut up. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. And everybody else in this country who's claiming to be a patriot, who claims to love this country, you know what is happening. Now it is time to put up or shut up. All of you. Every single one of you, I don't care who you are. Nobody. Nobody is going to buy your bullshit anymore. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They're foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms. A new world order.
wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banks don't own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashers make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold.
You get the trap. They want is
a new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Controls the CIA, the FBI, the ATF, and the FDA. They don't give a damn about the POW and the MIA. Hillary, Billary, Hitler, Marx, and Mao. They want a new world order. They want it all.
And they want it now.
If the Illuminati imports the dope, they create the chaos. Spring is out. They created AIDS. It's a designer disease to bring you down,
to grovel on your knees.
They want to vaccinate your child and give them the mark. They want to illuminate you and keep you in the dark. They want you to paper with plastic, surrender your soul. They want you under their thumb.
Under their control.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Yeah.